Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast for October 26, 2023. I am your host, John Lothian. In this podcast, we provide an overview of the content featured in today's John Lothian newsletter. We'll cover insights from the hits and takes section, share stories from the first read section, highlight the top three stories from the previous newsletter edition, and delve into the first six stories featured in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the proud home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We invite you to explore our extensive collection of trading history videos on the MarketsWiki Education page at johnlothiannews.com. This includes the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The FIA posted October 2023 highlights to LinkedIn that includes all kinds of Expo 2023 coverage. I don't have access to the FT Premium Lex column, but it has a story on the CME group titled CME, Future-Proofing in the Age of Uncertainty, with the subheading Economic and Geopolitical Uncertainties Have Been a Boon for the U.S. Exchange. Inc. magazine has some suggestion for books to read for Mental Health Month in a story titled October is World Mental Health Month. Here are four books to help you unlock your full potential. New titles to improve your well-being and boost the mental health of your employees. Are you young? Are you unhappy? You might be part of an epidemic of unhappiness of young people, and this could be hurting the economy. Barron's reports in a story titled, An Epidemic of Unhappiness is Consuming Young Americans. It could hobble the economy. Not that this news is going to cheer you up, but the Telegraph reports climate change is one of our biggest health threats. Humanity faces a staggering toll unless we act. The sub-headline is, as the planet warms, the world's health systems could become overwhelmed by the consequences of extreme weather events. If that did not register in your cheerometer, the speech by UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak might, where he warned that humanity could lose control of superintelligence AI, the Telegraph reported. Digging deeper down the glumness hole is a story from the Financial Times about quantum computing titled, Time to Get Serious About the Dangers of Quantum Computing, with the subheading, Q-Day, When the World's Data Encryption Codes Fail, is already on its way. The FT has an interactive multimedia story about the Rimal district of Gaza City titled, How Israeli Airstrikes Destroyed a Busy Neighborhood in Gaza. Our most read stories yesterday on JLN Options were Bitcoin volatility explodes reflecting short squeeze, bullish options bets from Blockworks. Goldman wants trading derivatives to be easy as buying on Amazon from Bloomberg. And a famed trader known as 50 Cent is making a big bet that the world's worst performing currency is about to surge violently from Markets Insider. Subscribe to the JLN Options newsletter with the link in today's newsletter. It's free. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have episode number 23 of Options Discovery, intro to JEPI and JEPQ, JP Morgan's covered call ETFs. Rich Excel discusses covered call ETFs. In this episode of Options Discovery, Esma Awas introduces covered call ETFs, more specifically, JEPI and JEPQ. This episode includes a breakdown of covered call ETFs and the metrics of JEPI and JEPQ. Esma then sits down with Rich Excel, an experienced hedge fund portfolio manager and clinical assistant professor in finance, to discuss JEPI and JEPQ in more depth. Esma and Rich discuss the benefits of JEPI and JEPQ, the strategy behind them, their recent growth, and more. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. And then we have JEPI and JEPQ, JP Morgan's covered call ETFs. Veteran portfolio manager Rich Excel discusses covered call ETFs and more. In this Options Discovery full interview, Esma Awa speaks with Rich Excel, a veteran portfolio manager and host of the Investment Exchange Forum and Macro Matters podcast. Rich talks about a variety of topics from his career, including his experiences as a portfolio manager and his blog, Excel with Options. Rich also gives insight into the benefits of JEPI and JEPQ, the strategy behind them, the recent growth, and more. Feel free to learn more on these two ETFs with links in today's newsletter. You watch this whole episode video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, Griffin says scrutiny of SEC basis trade, quote, utterly beyond me, unquote. He says strategy saves U.S. taxpayers billions every year. Citadel founder comments at Robinhood Investors Conference. Citadel founder Ken Griffin rebuffed regulators' critique of the so-called basis trade, saying their efforts are utterly beyond me. Hedge funds and others who employ the strategy are helping to provide liquidity and fund the treasury market efficiently, reducing costs for taxpayers, Griffin said Wednesday at the Robinhood Investors Conference in New York, according to people familiar with the matter. This is totally lost on Gary Gensler and totally lost on the Fed, Griffin said during a conversation with fellow billionaire Paul Tudor Jones. My comment. I get worried when Ken Griffin gets confused. Here's a story from Bloomberg Opinion. The headline, Markets in an Era of Clashing Superpowers, a World of Falling Cooperation and Rising Political Polarization is a World of Higher Interest Rates where valuations matter again. Eras. Are we entering a new era, and does it matter? The world is a mixed-up place at present. The situation in Israel is suddenly its most violent in a half century, while a once unimaginable war in Ukraine drags on with little sign of resolution. Relations between the U.S. and China are deteriorating rapidly, almost as if Richard Nixon's visit to Mao Zedong in 1972 had never happened. The U.S. House of Representatives fired its speaker and then needed 3 weeks to agree on an ultra-conservative alternative. And, back on points of return normal territory, inflation has returned and the interest rates to control it are the highest in a generation. My comment, the world I knew and the world I want to live in seem to be slipping away. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, The War That Broke Social Media, the platforms that found popularity by helping disseminate trustworthy real-time information, now seem to showcase anger, chaos, and infighting. The image shows a man's hand holding up a Palestinian flag with what looks like to be a rose, framed by a sunset. We are staring into the void in the midst of an apocalypse rendered by our own bloody hand, reads the Instagram post. This came not from an individual account, but instead from a restaurant called Little Deb's Oasis in Hudson, New York. In the comments of that post, things got messy, as Little Deb's heard from disgruntled customers, never stepping foot in your restaurant again, how sick. Fans, looks like you all took out the overflowing trash and it only took one post. And potential customers, was hoping to try out the food at your restaurant, but I don't support terrorists or people that don't actively condemn terrorists. Little Debs claimed to have lost 2,000 followers after the post and said, we aren't afraid to lose fake friends. Later, via email, it put the figure at around 600. My comment, What I'd like to know is, what has the impact of the deterioration of information a number of participants on Twitter, now known as X, done for trading systems that harvest the tweets to use for market sentiments? Is X still useful as a market sentiment tool? Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was Goldman wants trading derivatives to be as easy as buying on Amazon, from Bloomberg. Second was the unintended consequence of market structure reform, cutting out the everyday investor, by Oliver Sung at Cboe. Third was Ohio State fans troll Jim Harbaugh at game day over sign-stealing allegations, from FanSided. Here are the top six stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is a press release from Intercontinental Exchange. The headline, ICE appoints Chris Edmonds to lead fixed income and data services business, Chief Regulatory Officer Elizabeth King to lead ICE's clearing operations. Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., a leading global provider of data technology and market infrastructure, announced today that Christopher Edmonds, currently ICE's Chief Development Officer, will succeed Amanda Hindleyan to lead ICE's Fixed Income and Data Services, FIDS, business segment, a position that will move to ICE's Atlanta headquarters. The FIDS segment, ICE's second largest, earned $546 million in revenue in the second quarter of 2023 and $2.1 billion in revenue for the full year 2022. The next story is from Bloomberg. The headline, UK banks call for caution on artificial intelligence regulation. Industry figures discuss risks of AI with finance watchdogs. Bias and complex rules were highlighted as risks of new tech. Finance and technology firms have cautioned UK regulators against heavy-handed rules governing artificial intelligence, saying they shouldn't try to define the nascent technology at present. The Prudential Regulation Authority and Financial Conduct Authority said discussions with 54 companies and industry bodies produced no clear consensus on the potential benefits or risks of AI, according to a paper published Thursday, which did not name the firm's consultant. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, Sam Bankman-Fried takes stand in reminder of crypto's epic fall. Last year, crypto was still the future of finance. As SBF prepares to testify, the new documentary Ruin explores what transpired since FTX's stunning collapse. The fraud trial of Sam Bankman-Fried has often felt like a flashback from the distant past. Was there really ever a time when people thought his FTX crypto exchange was a real business? When the awkward 31-year-old, who's expected to take the stand as soon as today, was a billionaire market mogul, respectively consulted his take not only on cryptocurrencies, but also on U.S. market regulation, philanthropy, and even the future of human species in the face of intelligent robots. And then here's another story, this one from InsideClimateNews.org. The headline, How Climate Change Drives Conflict and War Crimes Around the Globe. Human rights advocates want the International Criminal Court to begin gathering evidence on the way climate-amplified extreme weather, heat, drought, and flooding are driving armed conflict, crimes against humanity, and war crimes. Drought, flooding, and extreme weather are driving and amplifying violent conflict around the world. At the same time, warfare has devastated ecosystems, imperiled access to vital resources, and left behind toxic legacies that sicken civilian populations. On Thursday, a coalition of human rights organizations and lawyers published an open letter urging the International Criminal Court's prosecutor, Karim A.A. Khan to begin assessing the links between climate change and the crimes in the court's remit. The letter also calls on Khan to prioritize the prosecution of crimes that cause environmental destruction, citing a host of examples. Here's another story, this one from the Los Angeles Times. UN report warns of catastrophic climate tipping points. California is nearing several. Humanity is on course to transgress multiple global tipping points that could lead to irreversible instability or the complete collapse of ecological or institutional systems, a United Nations report warned Wednesday. The third annual Interconnected Disaster Risk Report from the UN University's Institute for Environmental and Human Security in Bonn, Germany, found that drastic changes will occur if urgent actions are not taken around 6 moments when sociological systems are no longer able to buffer risks. Here's another story, this one from The Guardian. The headline, "The new global arms race will lead to catastrophe. The West can pursue it or choose peace." In the autumn of 1914, a frantic race to build weapons and decouple economies was underway among the countries of Europe. As the war cry on both sides intensified, a young Albert Einstein, together with the astronomer Wilhelm Forster, physiologist George Frederick Nicolai, and philosopher Otto Bueck, signed a manifesto to the Europeans, inviting scholars and artists, those of whom one should expect such convictions, to speak against the escalation, think in terms of a common culture, transcend nationalist passions, and call for a union of Europeans to prevent Europe from perishing into a fratricidal war. Few listened. Europe sank into the catastrophes of the two world wars, which led to the end of its preeminence. We appreciate your attentive audience for the John Lothian News Daily Update. Kindly think about sharing our podcast with your friends. Additionally, if you haven't already, we would be grateful if you could take a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Your reviews aid in introducing our content to new listeners. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.